and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Doggy, this is a big, big show. Ian Millhiser, policy analyst with the Center for American Progress, to talk about the court decision on health care. Charlie Pierce is back, everybody.
Hooray!
Author of Idiot America and from the Boston Globe. StephanieMiller.com, the website. By the way, do what I do. Speaking of interwebs and tubes and things of that nature, back up your important computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com today. Use my offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. Big, big show. We have lots to get to. Some new polling out and one of our very personal favorites, Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky, joins us. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
I am good. I'm so happy to talk to you this morning.
Good to talk to you. And it's great that Charles Pierce is there. I read his book. This was a big mistake. I read his book in the middle of my campaign. It's a great book, but you should not read it in the middle of a campaign.
That's right.
It makes you say intemperate things. Leave that for us on the radio.
There you go.
Congressman, so obviously the breaking news, the Senate reached an agreement on the tax bill. It now goes to the House, to you guys. You know, obviously, as you can imagine, I hear a lot of concerns every day from listeners on the phones and email. Let me just get your overall take on what's going to happen and your view of this.
Well, my take is they've made a few changes in the Senate bill and it'll probably pass. I'm not going to vote for it. I think it's too big a price to pay for the benefits that I think a lot of us agree need to be extended. But you know, the president says, "Well, we got 2.5 times in what we wanted for what the Republicans wanted, which is basically tax cuts for the very wealthy." And I said, "You know, that's like you go to the hospital and you're real sick, and the doctor says we're going to give you $250,000 worth of really effective treatment that's going to make you well, but in order to do that, you got to buy $100,000 worth of stuff that isn't going to do you any good." And, you know, I don't think that's sound policy making. So, well, I understand that there's some political positives here for maybe everybody.
Yeah.
It's just not good policy.
Congressman, you know, there's so many of us, you know, you hear, if you listen to any talk radio show, you know, you hear someone go, "Why didn't we do this? Why didn't we do that?" And I think any of us that have ever been in a relationship understand that. Anyone that's ever, you know, bought a car together, like, there's that, "Honey, why did you negotiate? Like, you screwed it up." You know, so I think that it, at least as we work through this, it would help us to better understand. And you obviously have more of a view of it because, you know, people will ask me, "Why didn't this happen?" or "Why didn't that happen?" And obviously, a lot of us not behind closed doors when all these negotiations are going on. And I was just saying to my producer that I really understand both sides of this. I mean, I hate these tax cuts for the rich. But first of all, let me ask you, if are you going to be able to do anything about this estate tax thing in the House or no?
Well, my sense is that this was the deal that John Cowell made in exchange for his removing his opposition to the START treaty. And if that's not the case, then my anger and many of my colleagues' anger will know no bounds, because otherwise there's absolutely no reason to just throw this bone to the very, you know, the 6,600 of the wealthiest families in the country.
Yeah.
But my sense is that's what that deal was made. That was not a deal negotiated by Democrats. That was just the White House and John Cowell.
Congressman, you and I have talked many times, and I think you probably know, I'm a big fan of all the, you know, that the bills that the House passed and the work that you guys have done. But let me play devil's advocate here. You know, that old quote about, you know, insanity, the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again and having, you know, expecting a different result. Obviously, 400 and something great bills came out of the House, died when they got to the Senate. So while I understand your anger at the president, you know, feeling left out of this deal, don't you feel like he was trying to get something done? I mean, again, I don't question the president's motives like some people do. I think he was trying to get something done for the American people on in a short time period. What do you think?
I agree, and I don't disagree at all with any of that, and I'm not mad really at the president, because he did what he thought he had to do, and you know, he was in a tough box.
Well, right.
My constituents, however, and my track record in terms of opposing these tax cuts for the wealthy is such that I just could, in good conscience, can't vote for it. But but no, I think he made the best, probably did make the best deal he could.
But, you know, Congressman, when you, look at the reality of it and you think, okay, the House passed the bill that we like, you and I like. You know, I mean, when when Chuck Schumer's bill failed, you know, the compromise, I mean, I think many of us do sort of feel like, what was the president supposed to do then? I mean, what is your take on, because a lot of people, you have to address that. People going, he caved, he capitulated, he did this, he did that. I mean, what is your take on that, on how this, I think it'll help us understand, you know, it's like I say, in any relationship, let's work through it and understand how this happened so we can move on.
That's right. Well, I think the mistake he made was not negotiating this deal. The mistake he made was not drawing lines in the sand earlier and fighting and trying to make his case earlier. And I wish we had voted before the election.
But didn't he ask for that?
He did. Right. And I think our leadership made a mistake. Now, on the other hand, we had 37 or 8 of our vulnerable candidates who said we won't vote for this bill, basically, to go up to 250. And so, I mean, our leadership was in a box, too. You know, we've got a pretty dysfunctional system when a small number of people can dictate national policy. And
Congressman,
that's what we have in the Senate, and we have, in that sense, we had it in the House.
But Congressman Yarmuth, I mean, is that, again, I'm not sure what's fair to say. I'm just asking, is it fair to say that that may be when the president caved in? Should he have said to the Democratic leadership then, I am the leader of the Democratic Party, I want this vote now, and I think we should run on this?
It would have been nice. I mean, in hindsight, that would have been great, and you know, most of those people who signed that letter aren't coming back. So it wasn't going to make any, it didn't help them to avoid the vote. So, yeah, I think that's, you know, we all wish that would be the case on almost everything. We are, and I think, by the way, this last thing, and I was one of the, I didn't shout, just say no, but I did vote not to support this bill in the caucus. This was a catharsis vote. This is, you know, we've been sitting around being dictated to by the Senate for 2 years.
Yeah.
And it was like, we've got one shot left to put our foot down and say, no, you're gonna sit up and take notice before we, you know, walk off into the irrelevancy sunset, which we're trying to do.
Yeah.
But
what do you make of
frustration there?
What do you make of these two new polls out? I mean, 60% in one poll, 70% in another poll of the American public support the tax deal.
I don't think that has anything to do with the substance of the bill. I think that has to do with the fact that there was a bipartisan effort and there was a compromise. And people say, gosh, if these people came together for something, it's got to be worth supporting.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's much more about that than it is the individual provisions of this. Whether it's even I saw a poll the other day, vast majority opposed the 2% reduction in the payroll tax. A huge majority.
A lot of concern about the Social Security, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, and because it's $120 billion, it all comes in next year, which means a year later, everybody's taxes are going back up. And they probably won't notice the cut, but they'll notice it when they go back up in 2012. Let's hope it has a stimulative effect so that everybody's feeling better, because otherwise it's going to be a big political liability, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think we all, you know, have some uneasiness about some parts of the bill and what's going to happen in say, a year. But, you know, I do, you know, it's interesting. You know, a lot of us, congressmen, think I would not want to be the one sitting at that Oval Office desk, because I feel like, you know, the one thing I keep saying is I don't think the Republicans were bluffing on unemployment. Do you? They don't care about unemployed people. They already let them lapse. So I think, you know, the president did what he thought, I think, was the best thing to do. But let's play what if, because I think a lot of people want to do that. Well, I mean, is there a way? I mean, because a lot of people, obviously, you've heard them on the left say we should just let them expire and have the president seize the bully pulpit and say, you know, and use the veto pen. So when the Republicans in January send up the tax cuts for the rich, he vetoes it. But I mean, or is the president right that too many people are going to pay a price in the meantime?
Well, on the unemployment benefits, the matter, you know, you're talking, they expired on December 1st, so you're talking about just a couple weeks or 3 weeks more, probably, to have that vote. I'm not sure that's going to, you know, with some people, to make a big difference, but overall, we're going to make it retroactive anyway, December 1st, so the people will get their money. And I think there's certainly merit in that argument that we ought to make them take that vote, particularly with all the new members who are now going to have to actually deal with real policy concerns and not just mouthing off like saying we're going to do away with IRS Clinton.
I mean, you would think he could, even to the Tea Party, you would think the president can make the case, we cannot afford this. You ran on lowering the deficit. We cannot afford, you know, to add X, you know, Y and Z to the deficit with these tax cuts for the rich.
No, I agree, and I think it'd be, you know, that's the other consideration, whether this package could get by, could pass in the next Congress, because I'm not sure, you know, all those
right.
Republicans that are coming in are not going to vote for it.
Well, that's what the president, you know, and I got to tell you, I've got a lot of those emails, too, people saying, please don't gamble with my, you know, unemployment check or with my tax cut, yeah. Because I can't afford it, and I don't want to be in the middle of a game of chicken and, you know, just to prove that someone has a spine or cojones or whatever the word of the day is.
Yeah, that's right. There's no morality there, and also there's an economic factor, too, because you're talking about billions of dollars that would be spent in the economy that won't be, and that would be a big hit. So that's true. It is a dangerous game of chicken on the unemployment benefits. On the other stuff, I think it's a fight worth having.
Yeah. Boy, it tells you what a difficult topic this is, because we've both argued both sides of this issue now. You must be a Libra, too. Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Stephanie. Always good to be with you.
All right. Thank you.
Aww. Wow.
Stop spreading me hate mail.
Uh-oh.
Namby, pammy, aren't we allowed to have differences of opinion?
Apparently not.
As people, as liberals, as whatever, it's a difficult subject. It really is, you know. And I maintain that you can love Randy Rhodes and Keith Olbermann, which I do. All right.
Love? In what kind of way?
In the dirtiest sort of way possible.
Oh, dear.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Weird, weird, weird. W-I-E-R-D, weird.
That's not how you spell weird.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Middleheiser of the Center for American Progress. He's a legal analyst.
Analyst, yes.
I mispronounced it on purpose just to get it out of the way. On
the ruling in Virginia yesterday about health care reform.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for putting words in my mouth.
No.
24.
You seem like you were struggling there.
Minutes after. You would too if you got as much hate mail as I do.
Oh.
24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Why, look who I got a Christmas card from. Why, look at that. It says, hang on, let me open it up here.
From Ian Milheiser?
May your holiday be filled with all the simple gifts of the season, and may your new year be blessed with health and happiness. Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, Malia, Sasha, and Bo! Who's got Bo? The paw print there! Did everyone get one of these, or just me?
Just you.
Just the Obama apologists? The dead-ender Obama apologists? Is like it. By the way, that's not a salutation. Have a happy holidays, Steph. Happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa.
You know why he sent that card to you?
Can I why?
Because you paid over $1,000 to get into his party at Oprah's.
To go to see Oprah's house.
Yeah. That's why you got the card.
You know I never give to anything. I'm cheap. what was I saying? Oh, anyway. Can I just say my fellow Obama apologist, Hoa, Randy Rhodes, cracked me up yesterday because she also is defending the president in this tax deal. I don't know if we're the only ones in progressive radio. I'm not sure, but it was hilarious. At the end of the show, a guy was bitching not just about the tax deal, but then about two other issues. I don't even know what they're about, and I do this for a living.
Yeah, we get that
I'm mad at the president also for whatever. Randy just like hangs up, and she just goes, all right, I'm going home.
And the show ended?
Jeez. I guess it was good it was at the end of the show.
Yeah.
But that would be funny if I just left. You know what? She's like, all right, I'm going home. He gave you a tax cut and you're still not happy. All right, 58 after. And she did. She just left. Good for her. All right. Yeah.
What if I did that?
Do that. No one else knows how to do the touch the shiny buttons over there, whatever it is you do.
Whatever.
Okay. Tom, Stephanie, if Obama... In your cereal bowl, you would somehow justify that it was needed. You know what? I get plenty of roughage. I really don't think I would, Tom. All right. That was a weird hypothetical. If the president in my cereal bowl.
What would cause the president
to... Look, this is a complex issue. Go back and listen to my interview with the Representative John Yarmuth on the website after the show. Because it, you know, even he was saying this is a complex issue. And it's a... All right, how about this one? Give me some more of a hate letter. This is good. It's always good when they drag my father, my dead father, into it.
Great.
Sinking ship. See right away. Nasty, I assume. I'm on the sinking ship. Wendell, how did you... Oh, first of all, his wife forces him to listen. Whatever.
Whatever.
Okay.
So that it never goes well anyway. How did you wind up on a station that bills itself as progressive? You are a diehard dead-ender Obama apologist, and this deeply conservative president never seems to go far enough down the Republican road to warrant your disapproval. This latest tax bill abomination case in point. I will admit it's moderately entertaining to listen to you stutter as you try to defend the indefensible as your lizard brain starts fighting with your frontal cortex over Obama's disasters.
Lizard brain?
No wonder you can't talk. Oh, well, see, now that's your job to criticize my pronunciation.
Well.
And Jim's when he gets here.
Yeah.
Anyway, Barry Sotero. Why do I think this guy's not a progressive? When they whip the Barry out, I don't... Is taking the country down faster than Titanic, and by letting your lizard self continue to lick his magnificence, you are dooming your radio future. Truth to tell, I don't really care if the spawn of snarling Bill Miller goes down.
Oh. Was that a nickname that he had?
Not one that I recall. But I do care about the progressive movement and about the Democratic Party that I have worked in for all these decades. Just pretend you're progressive about something other than sexual rights, and maybe you'll survive the coming deluge. And maybe, just maybe, the progressive movement will be spared some of the taint of association with your regressive Republican ass.
He brought your taint into
it. Oh, that's mean! I've been called, well, you know, I get frequently called the C-word, but did you call me Republican? How dare you? That was low.
And you brought your taint into it.
Yes! Oh, look, it's one love letter. Anthony, Steph, I love your show and balanced approach to the issues. Thanks for your continued support of President Obama. I have nothing but love for you. Okay, there's one. One. Okay. Rob in Tallahassee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Stephanie. How are
Hello.
You this morning?
I'm all right.
Good. Hey, I got a quickie. And you know what? I got a problem with our... progressive wing of the party. I'm a Democrat, but I don't know if I consider myself as progressive. Why are they continuing to whine and throw this president under the bus? They didn't show up to vote in the last election. Now they want him.
Well, now that's not what the breakdown actually shows. It's independents that largely stayed home. If you look at Nate Silver's 538.com.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, honestly, and these new polls that come out on the tax deal, 60-70% of people, including Democrats, are for it. But, you know, there is no questioning that the liberal base is upset.
Yeah, and you know what? And I love Ed Schultz to death, but, man, he's killing them, him and Keith.
I love them both, too. That's what I'm saying. Why can't we disagree and just get along anyway? All right. Ian Millhiser next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You're not going to kill Santa Claus because he doesn't exist.
Really, Brian? He doesn't exist. And who else isn't real? You going to tell me that Elmo isn't real? Huh?
Stephanie Miller.
Is he not real, Brian?
I'm a little too real.
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. You know someone I have no animus toward at all?
Who?
Ian Millhiser, the policy analyst. With the Center for American Progress and our legal expert. Good morning, Ian.
I'll give you a reason for animus soon enough,
Stephanie. Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. All right, so let's talk about the breaking news. This judge, wowee, we got us a judicial activist. I bet the right wing's all up in arms.
Animus for him.
Yeah. He struck down the Obama administration's health reform law, ruling the individual mandate to buy health insurance is unconstitutional. Judge Henry Hudson, I enjoy his parkway in New York. He found the mandate exceeds the constitutional boundaries of congressional power. He stopped short, of course, of blocking the law's implementation until it gets to a higher court. Give us your first take.
Well, know, the weird thing is I feel better about the law today than I did before I read Judge Hudson's opinion. And the reason why, we all knew this was coming. I mean, this is a really ideological judge. He actually has a financial stake in a campaign firm that worked for Cuccinelli, the guy who brought the suit.
Yeah.
So super ideological. We all knew what he was going to do. And then he produced this opinion, and it's a piece of trash. I mean, he literally confuses two entirely different parts of the Constitution. I mean, there's no other judge who's going to read this and say, oh, wow, well, that makes
That's
sense
a good
to me.
Point.
I guess I'm going to switch my mind.
Yeah. Well, so of the 15 cases the judges have opined on so far, the Virginia suit, of course, is the first one to strike down any part of the law. So the White House doesn't seem that concerned. Are you?
I mean, you know, ultimately this is a very political case, but, you know, if you look at what this judge did, he blinked. So, you know, Cuccinelli was asking him to strike down the entire Affordable Care Act, and this judge carved out one single part of the law that happens to be the part of the law that has the worst poll numbers. You know, he didn't go after the pre-existing conditions provision, which is super popular. And, you know, again, this is a very ideological judge. If he blinked, Justice Kennedy's going to blink too.
Right. Well, I mean, but isn't that part of the problem is the when you mentioned the I mean, obviously you take away the mandate and that could affect the other parts of it, which is what the president always said. You can't take out one piece because that's going to affect pre-existing conditions and yada yada, right? It would cut the number of uninsured people who would get coverage in half and threaten the ban on denying coverage to people with pre-existing conditions, right?
You know, that's right. And I mean, let's make no mistake that the judge is playing with fire here because, you know, mandate may not poll very well, but it really glues this whole statute together. And the reason why is because if you're free to wait until the last minute to buy insurance, so you wait until you get sick, then you're going to take a lot of money out of an insurance system that you haven't paid into, and there's not going to be any money left.
Yeah. So I know how we could solve this in the lame duck before Christmas, a public option. We could keep the – why? I'm spitballing here, Ian.
You know, I mean, there's plenty of things that, you know, that you could do. I mean, you know, or you could just remove the part of the Medicare statute that says it only applies to people under the age of, over the age of 65.
Yeah. I mean, Medicare for all. Boom.
Yeah. We got a ton of great options, but, you know, the Affordable Care Act works. You know, it makes coverage almost universally available. It, you know, it lowers the deficit. It, you know, it eliminates this problem we have where 30,000 people die every year because they lack health insurance. And there's just no question it's constitutional. I mean, you know, the Constitution has the safety valve that says when you enact a comprehensive scheme and there's parts that depend on each other, then, like, the whole thing works so long as it regulates the economy.
Right. So this judge, of course, the George Bush, W. Bush appointee, the White House said, we are disappointed in today's ruling but continue to believe, as other federal courts in Virginia and Michigan have found, the Affordable Care Act is constitutional. There is a clear and well-established legal precedent that Congress acted within its constitutional authority in passing this law. We're confident we will ultimately prevail. So they're downplaying suggestions the rulings would create uncertainty in the middle of implementing it because a lot of the key provisions don't take effect right till 2014, so they anticipate all challenges to the law will have worked their way through the system by then. Do you agree?
That's a really good point. I mean, this opinion that the judge handed down is really a glorified op-ed because, you know, he didn't enjoin the law. He didn't, you know, he didn't say that, you know, the administration is still allowed to do everything today that it was allowed to do last week. And so, you know, he's released an opinion. You know, he said, here's what I think.
Yeah.
But he didn't actually do anything.
Well, you've heard the saying about opinions are like, well, never mind.
Yeah. And he definitely has
holes. Everyone has one. They all stink. All right. Now, the White House, of course, points out the vast majority of these cases have come out in their favor. A lot of judges, of course, threw them out entirely, right? Not just ruled them to be constitutional. Some of them threw them out entirely.
I know, that's exactly right. I mean, Virginia should never have been in court in the first place. You know, there's a Supreme Court case that says a state's not allowed to sue the federal government just because they don't like a federal law. Mm-hmm. And that's all that's going on here. You know, what the judge said is he said, well, Virginia passed a nullification law. They passed a pre-Civil War style law saying that we don't have to follow the federal law. And, you know, I mean, that may have worked in the days of Jefferson Davis, but this judge really needs to learn who won the Civil War, because there's some histories missing here.
Well, I mean, his ruling will be appealed to the Fourth Circuit. It could end up in the Supreme Court. Of course, the right wing is saying you need to go to the Supreme Court now. He needs to do it now. What is your take on that?
I think it's very unlikely that we're going to be able to bypass the Fourth Circuit. You know, the Supreme Court, you know, likes to let these things simmer. And the Fourth Circuit's a pretty good court for us. It's one of the few courts in the country where a majority of the judges are not conservatives. I think it's like a 6-5 split. And so chances are the Fourth Circuit is going to take a look at this and go, this judge doesn't know what he's talking about. I wouldn't be surprised even if some of their more conservative members, you know, because this opinion is so weak, or a little cautious about upholding it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the arguments on their side, I'm sure you saw the tape all over television last night of Orrin Hatch saying today is a great day for liberty. Congress must obey the Constitution rather than make it up as we go along. And of course, there he is from all the tape in the 90s supporting the individual mandate. When we had this whole discussion with the Clinton, yeah.
He sponsored a bill with an individual mandate.
Yes.
My favorite interview was Judd Gregg actually said, you know, this law is unconstitutional. We should have passed my bill. And then he lays out an idea for a bill that was basically the exact same thing. We give everyone catastrophic coverage and we make them buy it.
Yeah.
That's the same bill.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, it shows where these guys are. The Virginia Attorney General, Ken, how do you pronounce his name?
Cuccinelli,
the one who obviously, you know, brought this case in the first place. Last week he declared that Virginia has outgrown racism and is no longer, it should be subject to the Voting Rights Act redistricting requirements. Because apparently no more racism, it's all done, according to him.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I encourage any lawyers who are listening, if you want to laugh, read Cuccinelli's brief in the healthcare litigation, because it's shockingly bad. Like, I mean, he has an entire section where he argues that the healthcare law is unconstitutional because of the Boston Tea Party.
Yeah, exactly. Let's you know what? Here, let's play some Ken Cuccinelli. I can't ask his name. Cuckoo-ca-choo.
Yeah.
Mrs. Robinson.
Someone who has sworn an oath to uphold the law, I can't endorse taking away the rights of some people to fund the health insurance for other people.
Oh, that's the Republican talking point, remember? You've got yours. Why pay for other people?
Yeah, no, I mean, and it really goes to, you know, this is bigger than just, you know, the health care bill. I mean, there's this lost sense of the interconnectedness that we have. You know, it's this sense that we can give Paris Hilton a tax cut, and somehow that doesn't impact anyone. You know, she's got hers.
Yeah. Oh, no, my Republican brother, I always get if you want to pay more taxes, feel free to go ahead. And it's like, I'm like thinking, I wouldn't even respond to that argument if we were still in middle school. You know, it's like such a ridiculous argument. First of all, the IRS would send it back. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to just make up what you pay. But, you know, again, you can have the argument. All right, here he is again, Virginia.
This case is not about health insurance. It is not about health care. It's about liberty. And the judge said as much in his order. By the end of January, I expect you will see, for the first time in my knowledge, over half of the states of the United States of America as parties to a lawsuit against the federal government to rein in their overstepping the boundaries of the Constitution.
Oh, boy. Okay, so I guess Orrin Hatch was against liberty in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, liberty is a funny word. You know, I want the liberty to not die if I get sick. You know, I want the liberty to know that if my wife gets raped, she isn't declared a pre-existing condition and she loses her health insurance as well. I mean, that's the kind of liberty that I want. You know, apparently Ken Cuccinelli wants something else.
Yeah.
But it's not a liberty that I recognize.
Well, let's listen to Robert Gibbs real quick.
Our belief is that when all of the legal wrangling is said and done, this is something that will be upheld.
You know, the president is a constitutional scholar. I don't know why. I have a hunch that he might have checked into the constitutionality of this before we went down the whole road. How do you think this is all going to play out?
I mean, I'm still very optimistic that the Supreme Court's going to uphold it. I mean, not only do I think that we're going to get Kennedy's vote, but Justice Scalia wrote an opinion that's practically a roadmap for why this law is constitutional. I mean, he lays this whole thing out. You know, the Constitution is a safety valve. When you need one power in order to make a comprehensive law effective, then Congress has that power. And I think we're going to get Scalia's vote. I think we're going to get Kennedy's vote. Even Robertson's vote could be in play.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, I talked to Ted Olson at an event in New York back a couple of months ago, and you know, I'm sure you've read his brilliant, you know, piece in Newsweek, The Conservative Case for Gay Marriage. And, you know, he tends to differ with people that are afraid of the Supreme Court. He says, I think we could, you know, potentially get all of the justices. I mean, you know, the conservatives are supposed to be about keeping people, you know, the government out of our private life, right?
Yeah, I mean, on the marriage issue, I'm less optimistic that we're going to be able to get all of them. But, I mean, certainly I think that there are probably five votes to get rid of Prop 8.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Ian Millhiser, you always make me warm and fuzzy and happy. And it's not often a legal animus can do that.
Oh, I do what I can, Stephanie.
Thank you, sir. Ian Millhiser, our friend from the Center for American Progress. Thanks, honey. You're not supposed to call him honey. I'm sorry. He's a very fancy legal analyst.
Yes.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, what is this mess?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Sue.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, baby.
I want to tell all those people sending you hate mail that the whole point of being a progressive is being able to disagree and still get along with each other. You and I disagree on this, but we still love each other.
Yeah.
And Thomas Edison said that discontent is the first sign of progress. So we progressives, I mean, we're always discontented. So I fulfill that destiny all the time.
Well, I mean, I think we are and have always been a bigger tent. So I think that's the whole point. You know?
Exactly. We can disagree, but ultimately our goals are the same for the American people. We just want it. We may see different ways of getting there. What I want to make sure is everyone listening saw last night's Daily Show, because Jon Stewart went after the Senate Republicans for voting against the 9/11 health care bill for 9/11 responders.
Yeah.
And it is a thing of brilliance. He takes them, and that is the fundamental difference. There isn't a progressive or a Democrat who can wear that label that would ever vote against health care for those people who put themselves out, including the military, who are basically the second level of 9/11 responders.
You know, and Sue, I think the other, you know, I was listening to Tom Hartman yesterday, and, you know, he obviously not a fan of the tax deal at all, but again, it was talking about, in particular, the Supreme Court, when you look at, you know, some of the stuff happening right now, that it is just critical that we cannot say, oh, I'm voting Republican, I'm sitting home, I'm doing this, I'm not. I mean, there is such a, you know, when people say there's no difference, I mean, that is a load, don't you think? It's like there's
no,
I mean, you're right, 9/11 vote, unemployment benefits, there is a huge difference between Democrats and Republicans.
There is a fundamental philosophical difference, and my disagreement.
Huh?
Obama hadn't gotten there, is that he should have been strong a long time ago. But that being said, if this is the best we can do, we're going to support him and we're going to support the bill.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, Congressman Yarmuth, though, Sue, was saying, you know, that's exactly what I asked him. Is that when the president caved, when he said to Democrats, I want you to do this vote now? But, you know, as Chris said, first of all, you can't make them do it. And secondly, you know, as John Yarmuth said, they had already taken a lot of tough votes for the president and delivered. And so, you know, that's a tough call, too, isn't it? I mean, they said no. They said, like, we cannot do this before the election.
Well, right. Again, there's plenty of blame to go around.
Right, because now we go, why did we find ourselves having to negotiate for unemployment and yada, yada.
Precisely. But in the meantime, please tell people to go look at the first segment of Stewart Live. Now, you guys should play, like, the whole thing, because you will love
it. Listen, let's work for us.
and we can work. That is something we can all agree on.
Yep. All right, honey. Thank you. You know, one thing I do agree on, Carl Levin was talking about the president should use his bully pulpit to keep the Senate in town past the holidays if necessary. You know, he said, I haven't seen that kind of willingness to fight from Obama. I hope the president hears that because, yeah. Most of us, particularly with that many people out of work, I mean, who feels sorry that, yeah, it sucks if you have to work through the holidays, but so what? There's a lot of stuff that's really critical that needs to get done, you know, to just kind of go, oh, no, that's when, you know, what are they, Fred Flintstone? Like, nope, it's quitting time. Whoa. Gotta leave the quarry. 5 o'clock on the dot. He said, Carl Levin said, the way I think the president needs to fight is to say that he is going to use all the power he has of the bully pulpit and urge the Senate to stay in right up to New Year's if necessary. That's the problem. I don't see a kind of willingness to fight that hard where it will take a kind of position and that's what's necessary. The Senate and the House, these are tests of wills. Because, again, when you go running out of time, it's like, well, yeah, if you're going, I think they're supposed to split Friday.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, what, according to who? If you're not done with your work,
yeah, there's no set calendar. They adjourn when they adjourn.
Yeah. All right. Steve in Maine, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, honey. Go ahead.
I listen every day.
Thank you.
I consider myself a progressive Democrat, and but I do have one issue with the bill that Congress is dealing with now. Is I would love to see them fund unemployment with the tax elimination of the taxes for the rich. But at what point do we, I mean, that would basically still add, if that's what we did, it would still add $500 billion to the debt.
Right.
And one thing I am is fiscally conservative. I don't believe in buying it unless you have the money in your pocket, and it bothers
right.
me. Greatly.
Yeah, no, I'm like that personally too. I don't, I don't ever have a credit card balance. I pay it all at the, you know, when if I can't afford it, I don't buy it.
But as Democrats, when are we going to stand up and say, well, you know, I mean, what do we do about the unemployment for these people? Maybe we should just let them go to welfare, but. At some point, we have to stand up for a balanced budget. At some point, we just cannot continue to say what we want is important.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons, Steve, that this is so egregious to many of us on this side is letting these Bush tax cuts for the rich, because you're going, there is no way to argue that that is not adding a huge chunk to this deficit and, in fact, largely caused them in the first place.
But isn't it, Stephanie, like I heard, I'm not sure, Randy Rhodes, isn't it like only $136 billion of this is goes to the rich? Is that true?
No, it's more than that. I don't have the number. Yeah, I don't have the number in front of me. But no, a big chunk of this. I mean, the one thing, and Randy points this out too, is that, you know, even the Paul Krugmans, Chris, even the liberal economists are saying, you know, we needed a bigger stimulus, we need more stimulus, and
right.
there's no way in hell he would have gotten that, and he did. He got us a backdoor stimulus. That is the other really good part of this that I think, you know, that's the first line of Krugman's piece is, on the merits, this is worth doing. Of course, there's a lot of ways he thinks it's not good or that it might not be good for the president politically, yada, yada, but it's you know... at any rate, there are good stuff in there, including stimulus. The president yesterday.
I urge the House of Representatives to act quickly on this important matter, because if there's one thing we can agree on, it's the urgent work of protecting middle-class families, removing uncertainty for America's businesses, and giving our economy a boost as we head into the new year.
I mentioned a couple of polls, at least 6 in 10. That's about almost 60%, Chris.
I've heard.
Supports a tax deal between President Obama and Republicans. Two polls released Monday. Pew showing 60% in support, 22% disapprove. ABC News, Washington Post, 69. That's nearly 70.
So they say.
Approve of it. 29% disapprove. 3 of every 4 Republicans say they support the deal. 68% of Democrats and independents say they support it. So, you know, we'll talk about that, what that means when we get back. Jim arrives. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm getting all a Twitter. You know why?
Why?
We're less than a half an hour away from the return of Charlie Pierce.
Yay!
Author of Idiot America and from the Boston Globe. Humorist yes. extraordinaire. Missed him, love him.
He had been,
can't wait.
He had been disappeared for a little while.
Yes. All sorts of rumors on the internet, and I endorse all of them. Yes, we did have an awkward sexual encounter.
Yeah.
It made it a little frosty between us for a while. Now we're fine. Hmm. StephanieMiller.com. Of course, all of my sexual encounters are awkward. You can email us all at StephanieMiller.com. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Kai did, who, let's see, oh, I was doing the breaking news. Oh, yeah, this is an interesting one. The Washington Post ABC News poll, Chris, 68% of Democrats and independents are for the tax deal. You know, so this is what you wonder if, you know, again, the White House talking about the professional left or yada yada. And I Kai writes and says, let's see, he wrote another one. Let's see. According to the liberal base is not attacking if it's liberals with a microphone. According to Gallup, Obama's approval rating among self-identified liberals has dropped a whopping 1%, according to Nate Silver. You know, interesting. I don't. Kai also says you're witnessing why the working class doesn't support progressives. Progressive elites are willing to throw the unemployed under the bus. And again, I don't. You know, I don't like to you know throw punches like that. I know Ed Schultz personally. He's very passionate about what he believes, and I honor that, and I honor what Keith Olbermann feels. But you know, again, Randy Rhodes and I, Lawrence O'Donnell, we have a right to another opinion on this, on what you know practically is going to help the most people the quickest. Kai also says, why doesn't Carl Levin just stay in town? Since when is it the president's responsibility to run the Senate? Again, we were saying it's Harry Reid's.
Right.
Decision.
Right.
And,
he decides when to adjourn.
Yeah. Again, the president. But I do hope the president urges them to. And I do hope Harry Reid makes that decision that you stay until New Year's if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of critical stuff that has to get done. All right. For the opposition, Chris, I have a guess the quote.
Oh.
Uh-huh. I do understand many of the concerns and issues on both sides. Who said, sometimes we take for granted that Social Security has been an enormous success. It has done exactly what those people who created it have wanted it to do, nothing more, nothing less. It has succeeded. It has taken millions of seniors out of poverty and given them an element of security. It has also helped people with disabilities maintain their dignity. Widows and orphans are also getting help. Who said that?
Phil Dunphy.
No. Bernie Sanders in his historic 8-hour, not a filibuster, speech.
Right.
Long speech. I give him props just for that. I have a hard time filling, you know, 20 minutes without Q&A. Who said, for 75 years, it has worked well. It has a $2.6 trillion surplus today, and it can pay out benefits for the next 29 years. It is strong. See, this is good for him, because the Republicans always fearmonger. It's in crisis. We got to privatize, yada, yada. We want to make it stronger. This payroll tax holiday, I'm afraid, is a step very much in the wrong direction. It's one of the most important reasons why this agreement between the president and the Republicans should be defeated. Who said that?
Haley Dunphy.
These are dumb guesses. Where's Jim? All right.
Where is Jim?
He's on the freeway, of course.
In the fog.
That was Bernie Sanders and his historic. Who said, look, I'm not saying we should not come to some agreement in how to pass the unemployment benefits, but we should not mess with a mainstay such as Social Security. This is part of the deal. It breaks it for me. Who said that?
Luke Dunphy.
No! Senator Bernie Sanders, who I made some good points, and I have a concern about that as well. Hello, Jim! How's the freeway? Heavy fog we're having this morning.
Yes. People are terrified of fog banks. They don't know what it is.
Wes in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Wes.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning,
Mooks.
Good morning. Go ahead.
It occurred to me that I've been listening to the tax debate for days now, and nobody on the Democratic side has suggested, well, why don't we move the bar from 250K up a little bit?
I mean, what do you mean? Yes, they have. Chuck Schumer tried to move it up to a million, and the Republicans have voted it down.
Oh, well, I can understand that. I mean, you can't really. I was thinking maybe 10 million or 100 million. You know, that would be a nice limit, too.
All right. I'm not sure. I think his thoughts were a little doughy.
Giannis?
That needed more time in the oven. April in Brooklyn. Hi, April. Welcome.
Hi. So this is my first time calling in, and I had to call because I heard you say, you know, how can they say that this does not raise a deficit? And I actually heard Michelle Bachmann argue this fact, and I was just floored.
Yes. So you know there's some logic there if Michelle Bachmann said it. Sure.
Yeah, I didn't realize that this whole time, you know, I was speaking American English and they've been speaking Republican English.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing, April. You remember in school, there was the hard, you know, the subjects that were like math and science, right? Hard numbers. And then there was the touchy-feely subjects that we liberals like, where there's opinion involved and all that. And Michelle Bachmann is like, well, I don't think we should view it as a deficit. It's not an opinion question.
Yeah.
It's a math question.
Yeah, she says, well, there's two different types of deficits.
Right.
The first deficit is the deficit of the government, and the second one is the deficit that will be incurred by the individual if these tax cuts aren't extended.
Right.
So I didn't know the rich people would have a deficit.
Yes. Michelle Bachmann, in my opinion, should have been held back. She should still be in perhaps third grade if our educational system was working in this country, in my opinion. Good morning, Jim.
The deficit should justify the government. It's not a government deficit. It's the rich people deficit that counts. Because they only can afford another yacht and not two.
In this economy, no one is irreplaceable unless, of course, it's Jim Ward.
What?
Dave in Buffalo says, you suck at Guess the Quote.
Why?
Hi, Dave.
Yeah, Chris is even worse at it than Jim is.
Why?
And Jim usually gets like three or four clues.
Well, at least there's an entertaining B story.
I had a B story going through that.
There was?
Stumpy something?
It was the family
killer
from
bees?
It was one of the families from Modern Family.
Oh.
See, y'all don't are not plugged into pop culture and elite.
That's kind of snooty and elitist. Okay.
It's the number one comedy in America. How is that snotty and elitist?
I usually
it's too smart a comedy for most people.
German chancellors over the past 100 years.
Yeah, and I do pop culture.
All right. Listen, there is one good news. The good news story for comedy this morning, and that is Michael Steele is going to run again.
Yay!
Yee-hoo!
That's how he rolls, baby.
He's Steele the one.
That's just my style.
But with Michael Steele, who can see anything coming? He announced he will be running again to stay chairman of the Republican Party.
Not happening. Oh, trust me. Not me, baby.
Michael Steele, you be the man. You be the man.
You're fired.
Michael Steele. Not me, baby. Not happening. No way, no how.
This is awesome. You are
Steele. Michael Steele has not been doing a fabulous job.
My bad. Get ready to get knocked off.
He then needs to get to work or get out of the way.
No way I'm not going to be hanging with lesbian strippers. No way, no how. That's how I roll,
what,
baby.
And give up all the simulated lesbian sex? No way! Quit show business?
That's where the RNC budget went.
I forgot about that Michelle Bachmann quote, that you be the man. Oh,
you
dear.
Be the man.
Oh, dear. Republicans so awkward around questions of race.
Oh, my God.
Have you noticed he's black?
You be the man, as they say in your hood.
Oh, my goodness, he's black.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, boy. Hey, here's a second round of Guess the Quote, and now with a real expert.
Yeah, with German chancellors.
I'll have to find some
Who
other
Who said
meme.
You have absolutely no reason, none, to trust our word, Republicans, or our actions at this point?
Max Schreck.
No, Michael Steele in one of his greatest hits. One of his gaffes, as they say in the political business. Mm-hmm. Who said to African Americans, you really don't have a reason, to be honest, to vote GOP. We haven't done a very good job of giving you one. True? True. or true dat, as true Michelle dat. Bachmann would say.
Oh, boy. Bela Lugosi.
No. Michael Steele. The gaffe-prone. Oh, this is a good one for the middle of the tax debate. This was in defense of the Bush tax cuts. Who said, trust me, after taxes, $1 million is not a lot of money?
Frank Langella.
No. Michael Steele, the gaffe-prone, hopefully future chairman of the Republican Party.
Christopher Lee?
I may actually go out and campaign for him.
Speaking of being awkward around questions of race, this is going to be entertaining.
Yes, it is.
Yes, he was expected to announce. He just never, you didn't see that coming, did you? He was expected to announce yesterday that he would not run.
Right.
Following a 2-year tenure mark by embarrassing scandals, gross financial mismanagement.
Other than that, how'd you like to play, Mrs. Lincoln?
And GOP officials have all pulled their plug on the support. Under his watch, here are the fun facts. The RNC has been hampered by anemic fundraising and profligate spending, leaving the committee with $15 million of debt. Good job! Including $7 million they attempted to hide from the FEC and less than $2 million in the bank.
That's how I roll, baby.
RNC Treasurer Randy Pullen publicly announced accused Steele of mismanaging the RNC's finances and trying to distort financial records.
Ain't no way, no how.
And as Jim has frequently mentioned, I don't know how that stuck in your memory, he has been plagued by high profile scandals, such as the infamous case of using committee money at a bondage theme.
What?
Strip club here in Los Angeles.
With lesbians?
Say it ain't so, Mike.
Only Tom Brokaw had been back to report on that particular scandal.
Lesbians. Scantily clad lesbians. Mm-hmm. Hanging from chandeliers.
Okay, here's
with
some
lanyards.
More. Here's some more fun facts. I won't bother with I've kind of forgotten some of these. Do you remember when he said the God made him RNC chair?
Oh, boy.
God,
really?
I really believe has placed me here for a reason.
Huh?
Yes, because that clearly God is a Democrat.
Yeah.
I think that's proof that once and for all. He, on a radio show, absolutely agreed 1,000% with a caller who said John Boehner and the rest of the GOP congressional leadership is an absolute freaking joke.
Hmm.
Oh, dear.
So
that
he
could be awkward.
Completely agreed with him 10 times.
Well, he agrees with Leslie Stahl. That was kind of like, what's wrong with you? Does he cry?
Do you need me to hold your hand?
Are you all right?
Do you need a tissue?
Okay, come on. That was weird, right?
Yeah, it was.
Before we would joke, but that's like, seriously, is he unstable? Is he unfit for office? It's
one would begin to think, yes.
And he only cries about himself.
I'm going to get the nuclear launch codes if something were to happen to Joe Biden. And I'm ready for that responsibility.
Okay. The look on Leslie Stahl's face was priceless. Just, are
like
you
abject horror.
Are you okay?
My God, you're insane.
He also said of Republicans, the questions we need to ask ourselves is, are we ready? He suggests maybe they're not really ready to govern.
No. Computer says no.
And I think he was right. The weird thing is he's oddly right every now and again. For instance, he said the one thing you don't do is engage in a land war in Afghanistan. All right, because everyone who's tried over 1,000 years of history has failed. That didn't go well.
No.
He said of the president, he was not vetted, folks. He was not vetted because the press fell in love with the black man running for the office. Wow! That's a page right out of Rush Limbaugh's playbook,
yep,
isn't
yeah.
it? Have you noticed Rush Limbaugh runs the same Donovan McNabb play pretty much with Obama?
Yeah.
The whole thing. Oh, the press just really wanted a black guy, so blah, blah. Uh-huh. Who said of global warming? I'm already told you who it is.
Yeah.
It's Michael
This
Stein.
Isn't... We've moved on from Guess the Quote.
Who are you? Having a hard week. Who said we are cooling? We're not warming. The warming you see out there, the supposed warming, and I'm using my finger quotation marks here, it's part of the cooling process.
Michael Ironsides. Steel iron, see.
He said of Rush Limbaugh, his whole thing is entertainment. Yes, it's incendiary. Yes, it's ugly. And then, of course, he had to walk that back because Rush Limbaugh is the actual head of people to get ready. Okay. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Good Lord, woman.
I can prove I'm a liberal. Oh, here we go. Jim, I can whine with the best of them. I certainly can.
Yes.
This is it's an inclusive We're All American story. Because, well, all right, hang on. First of all, you know what? We'll tell our story in a second, but this is, I know it's an all-time record for Guess the Quote, but On the Huffington Post, no less.
Mm.
Who said, I cannot imagine a worse job than being president of these United States in these most trying of times. President Obama has been under siege from every side for the entirety of his time in office. The poor guy can't do anything right. Passing health care legislation, wrestling $25 billion out of BP, turning around the auto industry and his many other accomplishments are simply ignored. The good is simply not good enough. In spite of his many courageous acts, the common wisdom prevails that he's not tough, not all up in the Kool-Aid of the opposition, a notion complicated by the fact that those who oppose him are often on his home team. Who said that?
Ingrid Bergman.
No, Beth Broderick on the Huffington Post this morning.
Huh.
I don't know who that is, but she must be on my future wives list.
Oh, are we starting that now?
Apparently, wow. I just started it now.
Now that you've dipped your toe in the lady pond?
I think she's dipped more than her toe in the lady pond.
Shut up, both of you!
What? She's doing the backstroke in the lady pond.
I got scuba gear.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, who said tough enough? The guy is made of steel. Governing this wild kingdom of a nation is like a never-ending episode of Survivor. Every week we send our leader into a shark tank with a bucket of bloody mackerel around his neck. Then when by some miracle he manages to come back alive with enough fish to feed the team, we scream, what? No tuna? No orange ruffy? Is that the best you can do? We moan, we wail, we shake our fist. Should have gave those sharks a what for, we cried. Then we bait him up again and sent him back into the tank. Who said that?
Ingmar Bergman.
No. Beth Broderick on the Huffington Post, a great piece called Obama and the Age of Unreason. One last one. Who said the recent hand-wringing over the temporary tax cut deal is a true case in point? The president does not preside over only like-minded citizens. He must govern for us all. I agree with Bernie Sanders on principle. So do I.
Mm-hmm.
But I applaud the president's deft avoidance of a showdown in Crazy Town. A whole lot of folks most pointedly do not agree with Mr. Sanders or me, for that matter. As the last election made exceedingly clear, Obama saved the bacon of the unemployed, assured tax credits for children and college students, and prevented the middle class from receiving a tax bill for $3,000 on January 1st. We seem to think he has some kind of magic wand that he's refusing to wave. There simply is just no such thing. He is the president, not the king, and God help him. Really, I mean that. God, please help him. Who said that?
Sandal Bergman.
No! That's Broderick. Sandal Obama Bergman. And the Age of Unreason. Really great piece.
Good thing, because I was running out of Bergmans.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why I'm a whiny liberal. So, you know, it's a shaky economy, shaky radio business these days.
Right.
So we started getting letters early this morning that we were off in Buffalo and off in Detroit.
Which is concerning.
To which we thought, oh, dear God, we're losing. What the hell? We're losing state. And then, we just got, well, we're off here in L.A. in our hometown.
Like, oh, no.
So it's not just places with a flat A that we're not listening to.
Turns out there is just a technical glitch this morning.
But they can still hear us in Chicago, right?
Anyway, I only took a brief pause of realizing that my entire career could have just been saved before I started bitching. Damn it, we're having a really good show. We're talking about important stuff, but we're not on in our three of our main... And he looks at me and he goes, you had a lot more to complain about 15 minutes ago. Shut up, you whiny
down.
Liberal biatch.
People can get it on the Steffcast, only $4.95 if they buy a year in advance.
Please, and it makes it delightful.
Difficulties.
It makes a delightful holiday gift.
That's right. You know what's going to make the show even better?
What?
Charlie Pierce.
Charlie. Yo, it's my brother Charlie. Sure looked out for me a little bit.
Exactly. He'll be with us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hello, Santa. Now, we've got a slight problem here because I have been rather naughty.
34 minutes after the hour. This is the longest, Jim, I've ever waited for a gentleman caller to call me back. Cobwebs, the pages on the calendar, the seasons change, the hourglass has run out.
Let it be Charlie him. Pierce? Oh, dear God.
Charlie?
It must be him.
Charlie? There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Where have you been, you bastard? You're late.
Bring in the Vicky car. Oh, my Lord.
Where have you been? It's like
I've
my husband.
I've been on an island with nothing but a volleyball for company, and, you know, they...
Take a frying pan to the head.
You know, the valve where you put the needle, it's not sufficient, if you know what I mean, and I think you do.
Wilson!
Charlie, we've missed you so.
Oh, and I have missed you, Mama, and the two mooks.
Now, are we allowed, because there's been, you know, rampant rumors on the interwebs, are we allowed to talk about why you haven't been on? Or are we
No. It's just, you know, nothing special.
Okay.
We can move on.
I'm going to go with the awkward sexual encounter that you and I had in a truck stop.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. and if it wasn't for, you know, Gloria Allred stepping in the middle, who knows what could
happen. Exactly. That's one of the benefits of me knowing her.
15 minutes with me and you're writing for Biker Mama again. What can I tell you? But all
that has to do is go on a man's caller ID, Gloria Allred calling, to make sure things get resolved quickly. Charlie Pierce, where do we start? I don't know if you've been listening at all in this whole... you know, debate, but I was just quoting from Huffington Post, which does a lot of Obama bashing, but somebody wrote a piece this morning it's talking about the age of unreason. I mean, can't we disagree without being disagreeable, as the president would say? Screw you, Jim! Sorry, Charlie, go ahead.
All right, I'm with Jim, actually. I stands all I can, and I can't stand, no more. What you've got in your hands is a financial services Democrat. And that's what he's always going to be. And the only reason I say this, has absolutely nothing to do with the deal, which I think you can argue maybe the best, given the position he helped put himself in, the best he could have gotten. But the fact is,
I'm not going to let you get away with that.
Wait one moment.
You got to address that first. How did he let himself get in that position?
Well, first of all, you don't hire Larry Summers again. You don't hire Tim Geithner again. You don't go to Bob Rubin for advice you divorce yourself from the economic team that got us into this mess in the first place. But you don't invite them back in.
Right, but what does that have to do with the tax deal? You were talking about
Because either there are two choices with this guy at this point. Either he can't be trusted on the campaign trail or he's not politician enough to deliver what he promises. There's no third alternative right now. I don't, you know, and yes, I think he was plagued by a bunch of lunatics on the other side. But anybody who didn't see that coming 2 years down the road isn't the politician I thought he was. I mean, all of this nonsense going back to his 2004 convention speech about how we're really a great country and we're much bigger than things we divide us, that was hooey then and it's hooey now and it's hitting him in the face.
Well, okay, but then how do you read the polls that, you know, whatever it is, between 60-70% of the American people are for the tax deal? I mean, it seems like a lot of people think this midterm was about, you know, trying to get to actually work together. Even Alan Grayson said this is the first time Republicans have actually come to the table on anything.
Of course it is, because name me one thing they wanted out of that deal that they didn't get.
Yeah.
They wanted permanent tax cut extensions for the rich.
They've got those because if you think these things are going to be revisited in 2012 in a presidential election year, tax cuts expire, I'll sell you a unicorn.
I may excommunicate you again now. You're harshing my buzz this morning.
No, I mean, I think you have to be realistic. Nobody, no president, Republican, Democrat, Independent, Whig, Free Soil Party, no nothing, is going to raise taxes in a re-election year. Yeah. Nobody's going to do that.
Well, and Charlie,
and
here, not, let me...
And
let
if
me,
he won't do it now, what makes you think he'll do it then?
Let me...
2 years from now, just wait. Then I'll be angry.
I know, it's not a question of being
I don't
angry.
Need a president
a
to be angry.
I agree with Stephanie on that one. It's not a question of being angry. It's a question of political reality, and this president is not going to raise taxes the year he's running for re-election. He's just not going to do it.
No.
Because he's not stupid.
Well, he's certainly consistently said he doesn't believe in raising taxes, or in cutting taxes on the top 2%. I think he could make that case in a year, and I'm not convinced
deficit. Why can he make it in 2 years? He can't make it now.
Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't have the votes. I mean,
well,
he just doesn't.
In 2 years? Nothing's going to change. It's going to get worse in January.
Right, but when he's running again,
the clown car has pulled up to the service entrance of the Capitol.
Charlie, he's the one that said to Republicans, or excuse me, to Democrats, that they should have this vote earlier. So I'm not laying everything on the president's doorstep like you are.
I'm not laying it on him either, but I'm telling you that he's done things for which he doesn't need 60 votes and doesn't need Republican support that lend me to believe that a lot of these policies are what he wanted in the first place. I named you the economic team.
Well,
Well, let me... the freeze on federal employees' salaries is a joke.
Yeah.
That should embarrass everyone because it's not going. It doesn't help a damn thing. It doesn't advantage him politically because the Republicans aren't going to give him credit for it, and the Democrats are going to hate him for it. And meanwhile, we're spending $4 billion a day in Afghanistan, but we're going to cut the salary of the janitor in the Pentagon.
Well, and meanwhile, he's getting the independence back, according to the latest polls.
If you're not a financial services Democrat, you don't hire Erskine Bowles and have a seance and bring Alan Simpson back from the dead to head your deficit commission. Yes. You can find better people than that.
We are having a little too over-enthusiastic makeup sex. We both just can't stop talking. We missed each other so.
I'm sorry.
Okay, let me ask you one thing.
Hey!
Because this comes... This is, no, but in terms of your... I understand
I'm never getting the Vicky car again, I can tell.
The bloom is so off this rose already. It's like when you do...
I feel like Nell. I'm engaging in twin speak here. You give me
not that I've ever gone back to someone I shouldn't have. What I'm saying is, hypothetically, it's like when you try one more time.
Yeah.
Like, oh no. I remember now why this is really sucked.
Yeah, this is...
I remember now why I hate you.
Oh, come on.
I kid you, honey. Okay, now let me ask you, because this goes to a lot of...
Stephanie Miller hates people that disagree with her.
Whoa.
Listening?
No, I don't.
Are you listening to Newsbusters?
That's the problem, is I'm the opposite. I love everybody.
I love it when Jim puts on his pharmaceutical commercial voice.
Yeah.
this will grow your hair back, and Stephanie Miller will hate you.
Charlie, all right, so...
erection lasts more than 4
If your snit lasts more than 4 hours.
Contact Newsbusters.
All right, so Charlie, this is in your backyard, obviously, because it's Scott Brown. But I think it's a perfect... You talk about financial reform and the president, yada, yada. But isn't this part of the problem that, as you said, the president has been faced with? They're desperate as anything to get those three votes. They were trying to get Scott Brown, Olympia Snowe, Susan Collins. Finally, you know, they finally got them to support financial reform. We bitch and moan about it got watered down. Well, part of why it got watered down is because to get Scott Brown's vote, you know, they had to take stuff out. And now we find that, of course, the banks were giving heavily to Brown in the middle of that. But
that was a really good story by my newspaper this week. He's an interesting character. You should spend a little time on the internet watching the way he's trying to like be a Republican and at the same time get reelected. He's really in a very tough spot, and it's going to get tougher in January because he's not going to be the shiny new kid on the block anymore.
This is my point, Charlie. When you say
Republicans don't need him as badly as they need him now, and it's going to be interesting to. I mean, the gyrations he went through on Don't Ask, Don't Tell are hilarious.
It's time to bring out the pink shorts again.
I think he should vote for overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the pink shorts.
He promised not to gyrate in them.
Charlie, but my point is, isn't this part of the political reality that you just cannot put it all at the feet of the president? That when people say financial reform was not tough enough, I agree with them. But you know, this is what you had to do to even get those three. I mean, we are always chasing after Susan Collins, Olympia Snowe, and Scott Brown.
Why isn't any of the academic curled lip contempt aimed at the professional left ever aimed at the Republicans?
Yeah. Well,
ever.
If he's aiming for the moderates or whatever.
Right. But Charlie, what do you say? I just read a letter from a listener half hour ago who said, you know, according to Nate Silver, his approval rating among self-identified liberals has dropped a whopping 1%. They said it's not liberals that are against him. It's liberals with a microphone. So maybe did they have a point about the professional left?
I think that's probably the case. But so what?
Because my point is, 68% of Democrats are for this tax deal.
Well, I'm sure they are because we are Democrats and we're saps, okay? And somebody says we have 13 weeks worth of unemployment and we fall for that. Even though the 13 weeks are going to run out, they're never going to get it back again. The next Congress is going to rip the guts out of everything and this guy is going to stand aside.
Oh, you guys are too. How much longer till Hal Sparks is here?
Here's my last prediction.
Yes.
Social Security is going to be his welfare reform. That's what he's going to be reforming. Social. It's already coming down the pike. You watch. Mm. You don't appoint that commission and load it with the people you loaded it with if you don't have something in mind.
Charlie, you know, I was saying this earlier to a congressman on the show. This is, any of us that have ever been in a relationship recognize this, is we have to have this conversation. It's like when you buy a car together or a house and then you bitch all the way home about, you screwed up the negotiation and you looked weak and you played the hand. And now we blah, and then you have to. So we have to apparently have this whole discussion about whose fault it is, right? And you know,
I saw a poll yesterday that said 70% of the American people disapprove of the way Wall Street does business. 70%. Is there one piece of legislation that's passed that reflects that number? That to which the president has used to his political advantage.
Right, but again, Charlie, we had this discussion earlier when people go, "Oh yeah, there's no difference between the parties."
Yes, there is.
Look at this chairman that's coming in.
What's his
name? Oh, incoming GOP Financial Services Chairman. Washington's role is to serve the banks.
Yes, I saw that yesterday. The entire world is conspiring to make Matt Taibbi's head explode. but you know what? Who's going to push back the other way? Is it going to be the president?
Tell me why we got that. Financial reform is all I'm saying. We got health care reform, and I do think it's better than nothing. And I think that we should. But what I'm saying is, then give him more Democrats. Let's strengthen it. Let's not go all negative. That's my point.
I'm not going all negative. What I'm saying is, realize what you have here.
You know what, though?
You have a Clintonian DLC Democrat dedicated to the financial services industry. That's what you have. Now,
you know what?
What you can get around the margins of that is all good. I'm very happy there's 13 weeks more of unemployment benefits for the people who qualify, by the way, which isn't all the unemployed.
Right.
People seem to have lost track of that. Why in the name of God do you go for advice on the estate tax to Blanche Lincoln, who got 39% of the vote in her own state?
Right. Yep. You know what, Charlie? I am
a political figure in America than Blanche Lincoln. That person is dead.
Yeah. By the way, this is like that Sam and Diane scene in Cheers. I would just go on the bar right now. I really would. I hate you. I hate you more. You're making me so hot.
I'm saying be realistic about. I mean, be realistic about what you got. Okay. I mean, this is what the guy is. And I'm not saying that's part of the reason why I didn't vote for him in the primaries. Of course, the guy I did vote for in the primaries turned out to have lots of problems. One of them toddling off to preschool.
Exactly.
Right.
All right. Thank you for making me not miss you anymore.
No, I love you, Charlie. We haven't even talked about Jim DeMint yet.
I know. Unfortunately, we're out of time for today.
Oh,
and
no,
now
again.
I'm going on vacation. So I need a little breather from you again. I need a little trial separation again.
But Charlie said he would appear with Hal Sparks next week
on
Tuesday.
Fine.
So.
You be that way.
And by the way, do you know what next Tuesday, what 2 weeks from Tuesday is?
I do.
What?
Chris LaVoy does.
It's Charlie's birthday.
I will definitely give you a spanking, and then I will talk to you again.
Please be heard.
I'm giving you a 2 week timeout, Mister. I'll talk to you in the new year. Let's hope you had an attitude readjustment.
Merry Christmas,
Charlie. He is awesome.
I missed him so.
So shut up about people. Oh, you only talk to people you agree with. Bull. All right, I'm in a mood.
You were hoping he was going to agree with you. And then
I was sorely disappointed like I am by most men. All right, 40. Why do you think I'm in the pickle I'm in? Well, it's actually a pickle. It's kind of pickle. 47 minutes.
Why do you think you've dipped your toe in the
water? Stop that! 47 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A place where dreams come true.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Bill in Chicago. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Hi.
First time caller.
Thank you.
With all this tax debate going on, I'm wondering how come nobody on the right, and especially nobody on the left, ever brings up the historic tax rates.
I bring it up all the time.
Well, actually, even the 39% proposal is lower than Reagan's 50%.
Yes, I bring it up all the time. You don't listen nearly enough, Bill. That's your problem.
Well, that could be.
Yes.
But I never hear it. I never hear it anywhere. Certainly not in mainstream media.
I read the letter that I wrote to my Republican brother, where I mentioned that Eisenhower, it was 90%.
Exactly.
Yes, under Reagan, it was much higher. His hero, and exactly. The fact that we're arguing over 30-something percentage, this or
34
that.
34 versus 39.
36 or something. It's like, oh, please. All right. Well, it's not really a hate letter. It's, I guess it's a compliment. People feel the need to comment on my looks in addition to my...
Well, now that you're on camera.
Dead-ender Obama apologiness. Rich writes, Dear Ms. Miller, your looks of late.
Oh, boy.
Dear,
of late?
Dear
it
Mrs.
Sounds catty.
Right away, dear Mrs. Miller.
Oh.
What? Mrs. Although I disagree with you on most of the issue, your Manhattan/LA chic look is generally okay. And although as a woman in her late 40s... screw you. You are, generally speaking, a very corporate-looking hot woman. Corporate-looking? What?
Okay. Not with Uggs and not with the Uggs and sweatpants you wear every day.
If you were to wear pumps, I bet you'd look even hotter. Well, Rich, this may surprise you, but I do sometimes. This is only a headshot on
just
camera. I actually have feet. I just don't wear pumps to the radio show. Women in their 40s, like Deborah Winger and Ann Coulter. Women?
Oh, come on.
Give me the hots. Oh, jeez. Well, I'm in the Ann Coulter category. I've always regarded you as a back-tier woman. Thank you, Rich.
What?
But you now have that milfy look, and I congratulate you.
Oh. You have a milfy look?
Well, thank you.
But you're not a mother.
Now that I've gotten older, apparently Rich prefers my...
Your milfy look.
My milfy corporate hotness.
If you just put on the Sarah Palin glasses.
Have you ever worn pumps?
I always wear pumps.
Really?
What was that one guy that called me, you're so fit and newsy? I'm like, try to figure out a good compliment for a woman.
Well,
for
is
God's
that a
sakes.
Compliment? What is that? Or is it just a statement?
No. Vince in Nashville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Vince.
And I'm proud to be on the show.
Thank you.
Hey, I want to talk about Obama's, his presidency so far is analogous to you or me going to a bakery. And in that bakery, you got a lot of beautiful stuff, a lot of nice cakes and pies and stuff like that. Imagine that. Mm. That's what his presidency was when he had the House and the Senate. And now, just imagine him just sitting around, thousands of customers comes in. Now you have nothing left in the bakery except a crap sandwich. So he goes, give me this crap sandwich. And he tastes this crap, and he goes, this is good. Let me try to give it to the American people.
It tastes like compromise.
That's what this whole thing is about.
Uh-huh.
And you got Boner. We as Americans, I'm just going to go to Boner now, and I want to listen to your comments after. We as Americans, we need to be able to translate some of this stupidity that's coming along in Washington. Actually, we have nobody in Washington that's leading us right now, because everybody, as soon as they get elected, they just start the campaign again. So nobody's really leading for the people. Take Boner, for example.
They're just be preparing crap sandwiches for us.
Preparing crap sandwiches,
yes.
And then crying, trying to make you like the crap sandwich. So he cries, and you know, let me translate that for you. What that means is, I'm so happy I got all the power now. Now I want you to have
it. Right. That's exactly right. He only cries about himself.
That's right.
Like, no one else has ever, you know, gotten an important job before. Like, he's the only one. And then you could tell Leslie Stahl was doing it on purpose, right? You swept the floors of these taverns, didn't you? Now you're Speaker of the House, and now you're Speaker of the House.
I had to eat crap sandwiches for breakfast in a tavern.
Before he blew that snot bubble on her.
He's the original baby in a
I
bar.
I heard they had to actually break and start over because he was losing it. Because, I mean, I ask you, is that not some sort of instability? There's a lot of speculation going on.
Making sure that these kids have a shot at the American dream, like I did.
You know, somebody made a really good point that wrote me. Steph, do you remember Pat Schroeder? She was a wonderful congresswoman from the Denver area, very popular, very effective legislator. She considered a run for the presidency. What stopped her? She cried in public.
Yeah, same with Muskie.
Apparently girls aren't allowed to cry.
No, Muskie wasn't either.
Right. Or Democrats, right. Now we've got a sniveling, weepy sack of talking points. Can't even talk about a job or his family without snorting and weeping. Good Lord, are we going to have to endure this for the next 2 years? I'd much rather have Pat Schroeder than the orange man from Ohio. Does this make me a feminazi?
Computer says yes.
Yes, Alice, it does. Alice from Maryland.
He's a thin-skinned pansy.
Now.
What?
He's an orange pansy.
Oz didn't give nothing to the tan man that he didn't already have.
Exactly. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. Do what I do. Backup all those important computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com today. Use my offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. StephanieMiller.com website.
Harrison Ford not included.
Yeah, exactly. Member FDIC. Oh, it's a little something for everybody this hour. Squeezy, we're having the proprietor of the Smitten Kitten. It's a sex toy store in Minneapolis on whose sexuality is fluid.
I bet.
She's a great entrepreneur, a great businesswoman. She has a great story. We'll talk to her in just a little bit. All right. Oh, a request for Jim. Jeff in Salem, as you're always on vacation when my birthday occurs on December 31st, I wonder if you and Jim could do this before you leave for vacation. He would like you to say this.
As Tom broke up.
In the great news, LL has disclosed it is limiting the carriage of llamas, alpacas, and all their camelids on its fleet of airliners. In a related story, I would like to prematurely wish a happy birthday to Jeff Bellerin from Salem in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. It would have to be a Commonwealth. At least he doesn't live in Gloucester or Lowell.
Lowell.
Happy birthday, Jeff. All right. Oh, can I have my dating game music? Oh, dear, Jim. Some men have only recently tuned in, like Mark in North Carolina. Oh, he's very handsome. Mark. Steph,
North
I listen
Carolina.
To all the... Chapel
Hill, North Carolina.
On WCH...
L? There would have to be an L in there.
Stephanie, I listen to you all the time on WCHL, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I had no idea that you were also Sister Sleaze. Yes, I was. You and Brother Weeze were a great team back in Rochester, New York. Thank you. I also had no idea you were so beautiful. Oh, well. What is all this business about not being able to get dates? Nonsense. If you're interested in meeting a divorced former U of R football player turned attorney, please look me up next time you're down this way. Please pardon the corny website headshot. Oh, you are very handsome. Maybe my sexuality is getting fluid again, Jim. Maybe I'll stop by the Smitten Kitten on my way to North Carolina.
You wouldn't want your sexuality to be dry as bone.
No.
Want it to be fluid.
No, sir. All right. Let's. Wow! Did you see? Did you see this breaking news?
What?
The Ukraine is going to open Chernobyl to tourists. That'll be fun.
Chernobyl.
That doesn't sound like it's
the radiation tour. Keep moving.
Well, you
and we're walking. We're walking. Walking very quickly.
Well, you won't need flashlights.
Don't expose yourself too long to radiation. It's okay. It's good. You don't won't need heater in winter.
Come tour the Chernobyl power plant. Could I have some, give me some, I don't know, Russian music is fine. No. Beginning next year, the Ukraine plans to open up the sealed zone around the Chernobyl reactor.
Good plan.
Wow, that seems fun. Today, about 2,500 employees maintain the remains of the now-closed nuclear plant, working in shifts to minimize their exposure to radiation.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be a very quick walking tour. Okay, that's good.
Keep moving. Keep moving.
A few firms...
You're so slow.
Offer tours to the restricted area, but the government says those tours are illegal and their safety is not guaranteed.
Oh, okay.
Emergency Situations Ministry spokesman Yulia Yushnyu said experts are developing travel routes that will be both medically safe and informative for Ukrainians as well as foreign visitors.
Ooh.
She said there are things to see there if one follows the official route and does not stray away from the group.
Yeah.
Ooh, can we go in the toxic pool water slide?
And we're walking. Seriously. Seriously, don't go in there or we're not going to be walking. Okay, I love that story.
The heavy water slide. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Here's a Christmas gift idea for your kids in this economy. You can buy some of the rides from Neverland. You can rent them. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, dear.
Michael Jackson's fairground rides are available for rent. A total of 6 attractions from Neverland are available. The Lolly Swing. Oh, boy. You can rent that for $5,000, Jim. The balloon samba ride, that's what the kids are calling it. Is that what Michael told the kids?
Yeah.
$8,500 just to rent that.
Right.
Dragon wagon and Dino's jumping jumbos.
Would you like to ride the dragon wagon?
God.
There's not enough Jesus juice in the world.
No.
To make
you
want to
I
love you. I am God. I love you. I am God. I love children.
Okay. Oh, wow, Jim, this is, I don't know if there's enough Cialis in the world if you watch Kate Gosselin on the Sarah Palin Show. But that's,
Oh, my God.
She did not enjoy her outdoor camping trip.
One doesn't think that she would.
These are some quotes from Kate. I'm worried about my toes. They're freezing. I've been bitten by bugs about 200 times. It's horrible. I'm miserable, but someone's got to be. This is cruel and unusual punishment. And finally said, this is ridiculous, she shrieked. There's no paper towels. I'm freezing. And then she said, I'm done now, and she left.
Without the children?
She made the kids pack up and leave, opting not to stay out overnight. When they objected, she said, okay, goodbye. You're now a Palin, not a Gosselin.
Oh.
And that was enough. That was enough. Being raised by a Palin, not a Gosselin.
So get out of Alaska.
Being raised by caribou barbing, having to club halibut and...
And get pregnant at a young age.
Yeah, they decided to take a pass on that. Even Kate Gosselin looked good after taking a little peek at caribou barbie. All right. Let's see here. The superficial reporting. Lindsay Lohan is apparently still mad at Gwyneth Paltrow for making fun of her in an episode of Glee.
That was very funny.
Someone should probably point out to her that there are writers that write the scripts, that it probably wasn't Gwyneth Paltrow's idea, that it was a line in a script. Okay.
But it was a very funny line.
Yes, it was. At least according to Dina Lohan, who you can tell is cut off because she's still using a month-old story to wedge her gin breath into the press. She said Gwyneth went overboard and it was unnecessary. Lindsay thought she was a friend. Oh, please.
Oh, man.
Oh, this story I love the most of anything. Who doesn't love B. Arthur?
I love B. Arthur.
Before the late and oh-so-great B. Arthur was an Earth Angel, she was a truck-driving Marine.
What? Why am I not surprised?
Who went by her birth name, Bernice Frankel.
Okay.
The Smoking Gun has documented her 30 months with the Marines starting in 1943. For whatever reason, B. has always denied serving in the armed forces.
I wonder why.
I don't know. The military records... Oh, dear. This is unfortunate.
Huh?
The military records have a single misconduct report. The determination stemmed from her contracting a venereal disease, which left her...
Chlamydia.
I don't know if it was that. She was married at the time.
Oops.
So don't, you know, it's not necessarily that she was being...
Chlamydia.
Must we have any more...
That's the problem of having heterosexuals in the military.
Yes, they spread things like...
Chlamydia.
They're banging away like rabbits, clearly. Bad for morale.
Okay.
If you're not one of them.
And B. Arthur has turned more men gay than anybody else. So
That's for damn sure.
All them golden girls. can we take any more bad news this year?
What?
They've canceled the Hoff. A&E has canceled the Hoff reality show after only two episodes.
Oh, boy.
D-listed writing, The Hoff has had relationships with hamburgers that have lasted longer than this. Jim, did you see this? Keith Richards is an orchid murderer. The director of the New York Public Library said just days before her orchid died a slow death, Keith was in her office waiting to go on stage for a live interview. Smoking is legal in the library, but Keith can do whatever he wants, so he lit up a cigarette and dropped his ashes in the clay saucer underneath the orchid. The smoke choked out the orchid, and it never recovered. So now she's accusing him of being
an orchid killer.
Orchid
slaughter. Have you read his book? Apparently it's fascinating.
Yeah,
and he remembers everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I haven't gotten all the way through it yet.
Okay.
Janiqua's still finishing it.
Oh. So.
Does he is he going to do the book on tape? Because
I do the book on tape.
Apparently he doesn't do the book on tape.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp, maybe.
Mm. Oh, dear God. Can Ed O'Neill just shut up? He just cannot dig his way out of this Jane Lynch situation. He said, I've only seen Glee once, but I thought Jane's note is rather one-dimensional. It's kind of strident. It's always the same. I've seen her be much better. That's why he said but then he denies that he said that she shouldn't have won the Emmy. I'm telling you, that was that moment for me when they said Barbara Streisand was too old to play Yentl.
Well?
One note! Jane Lynch is brilliant.
She was too old. She was in her, 30, 40s?
She was
playing a
too
teenager?
Old to play Yentl.
Come on!
She was brilliant.
Not enough Vaseline on that lens for anybody.
Papa, can you hear me?
I love the song on the back of the boat. Do not. And I love Papa, can you hear me?
On the, wasn't that funny? Funny, funny girl?
No. She's singing on the back of the boat in Yentl at the last scene.
Oh. She was in the back of another boat? Oh, wow.
Okay. She was in the front of a boat, actually.
In front of the boat. That's right.
In Funny Girl.
She always has a boat theme, but this one was... Yeah, anyway. Carney Wilson, delisted also writing, Carney Wilson got her stomach pinched and her intestines rotated live on the internet in 1999.
Yes, I remember that.
And now she says, I'm fat as... What can I say?
Wow.
You know, after all these years, it's like, just like we are who we are, and it's a struggle for me, and sometimes I'm heavier, and sometimes I'm thinner. Hmm. You know, aww, once you've had your intestines rotated on the internet. Pardon me?
Sometimes I'm weary.
Is that the latest Wilson Phillips song?
No, that's from the 30s.
Okay.
Benny Goodman.
Oh.
Courtney Cox has thanked Jennifer Aniston for her support in the wake of her marriage split. Wow, that's a turnaround there, isn't it? They probably still have the... I will survive all on the turntable just for all of Jen's breakups in the past. Just saying. All right, and oh dear, this is no good. Carrie Fisher.
Oh.
She apparently inadvertently outed John Travolta in an Advocate interview. See, people should just hush until people are ready to talk about things, for God's sakes. Did you watch Oprah's interview with Barbara Walters?
Yes.
I heard about it.
I saw that. That
may I just say the stuff she said about Gail was really gay, but she is.
Seth Meyers had a good bit on that.
But when you're, kind of a bubble,
I don't think she is, and it's just exactly.
When she has to live in order to survive, she has to live inside of a bubble, and she and Gail is the one person
she can open up to. She's awesome. I know Gail, and she really
we've
is
had
that
her on
nice.
The show.
Yes, she really is that nice, and I'm just people should just. She's been asked like 27,000 times, and I don't think that she is gay. So I don't.
Seth Meyers had a bit on that on Saturday Night Live.
What?
Quoting Oprah on the thing. I'm not gay. I'm the farthest thing away from gay, said Barbara Walters. I haven't asked you a question yet. I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like that.
Yeah. Oprah gave her the, oh, no, you didn't look.
Mm-hmm.
We have all heard on the internet, woman, that you are a lesbian. What do you like to call? And Oprah's like, you did not.
And oh, no, you didn't.
And then she started crying, and she screams off screen, kiss you! Did you see that?
Well, that's the impression that Oprah is getting used to getting what Oprah wants immediately.
Exactly, yes.
Whatever Oprah wants, Oprah
I do that
gets.
Too, but no one ever comes with anything. I just scream stuff. Yeah. All right. The good news is, kids, I've been telling you about Carbonite, and I appreciate all your letters. I get so many thank you letters for Carbonite because it's one of those things that you don't want to wait till it's too late. And then people go, oh, my God, I lost this. I lost that. I lost a manuscript. People trust me that it's not if, it's when something happens to your computer. You're going to have it happen. You're going to have a power outage, a virus. It'll get stolen. You'll spill something on it. If you're like me, you want to save all your priceless photos, all your priceless files, all of that stuff. If your computer crashes, everything is going to be gone. I use Carbonite Online Backup. Get it. Do it. Start backing them up today, all of your files and pictures and everything. With Carbonite, it's easy, it's affordable, it automatically backs up the files on your Mac or your PC. Check this out, $55 for the entire year. That's less than $5 a month for unlimited backup. Here's a special deal if you use my offer code Stephanie, 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com right now. Enter the offer code Stephanie for the free trial and 2 months free when you subscribe. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. 19 minutes after the hour, back with some right-wing world as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, the whole thing seems a little twisted to me.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Ooh, Bob in Watertown with a terrifying thought. Hello, Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Stephanie, Jim, and Chris.
Yes.
I saw the drizzling boner on 60 Minutes crying as usual.
It's a drizzly boner.
He's only two steps away from the presidency. Yep.
Thank you. Exactly. Can you imagine if it was a Democrat or a woman? People would be going like, what? Oh, my God. Is he? What sort of unstable is it?
The Russians made fun of me in my orange tan. I just say, nuke him! Nuke them all! I'll show them!
Jim, pull it together. I'm on a Guess the Quote tear this morning.
Oh, God.
Who said, poor John McCain has been so eaten up with jealousy that he's shrunk to near invisibility. If a senator shouts in the woods and no one hears him, is he still a senator? Much of the argument about the issue should be taken up with Cantwell or Murray or Baucus or those who clamor for permanent estate tax cuts. There were 12 Democrat senators prepared to vote against you and me and our dear determined Bernie if the president had not made this deal. The ground shifts under that chamber so relentlessly, it's not a wonder some of the older members have not taken a tumble down the aisle. Mr. Schumer is a smart, smart guy, but he holds only one perspective while Obama must behold them all. Who said that?
Michael Keaton.
No! Beth Broderick, who I'm just obsessed with now, on the great piece on the Huffington Post today, Obama and the Age of Unreason. Jim! Who said one of my biggest complaints, and there were oh so very many, about the Bush administration was that he seemed to care not a whit about those on the left side of the electorate. He didn't seem to be my president. He didn't hear my voice or care about my values, and it hurt my damn feelings. It also demonstrably hurt the country. Who said that?
Diane Keaton.
No. Beth Broderick, Obama and the Age of Unreason on the Huffington Post, a great piece. Who said, I hear a constant refrain about Republicans. It is argued that they are pure and always get their way due to an admirable lockstep in their party gait. The Republicans are finger pointers, not problem solvers, and I do not envy their approach to politics. The fact is, they did not do much governing last time around. They did plenty of war starting and marriage defending, but very, very little actual governing. There's a reason for that. Governing this nation is hard and truly thankless, but it needs doing. I most certainly do not want Democrats to start acting like Republicans. I absolutely never want to see Mr. Obama acting like Mr. Bush, and if you do, then I respectably suggest that you go back on your meds. Who said that?
Buster Keaton.
No. Beth Broderick. What you call it? Huffington Post this morning, Obama and the Age of Unreason.
Alex Keaton?
Alex
there
B.
are
Keaton?
No more guesses. No? Okay. I am sorry. All right. Let's all agree on something, and that is that we hate people in the right wing sometimes. Yay!
Mean sometimes.
Oh, I've started using that word. Oh, dear. I don't usually hate. I'm happy clappy.
Mm-hmm,
oh,
sure.
Steve Hayes on Brit Bear.
You hate Charlie Pierce now.
No, I do not.
I think the question is, will Republicans wisely jump on this momentum and push forward at the very beginning of the new Congress and try to run on this? I mean, you've got now numbers in favor of repeal higher than they've ever been. You've got this momentum. It's time for Republicans to actually do something and try to push as hard as they can or as early as they can.
Mm. Yeah, because one judge out of how many, this is the first time they've ever gotten a ruling their way from some right-wing George Bush appointee whack.
Mm-hmm. That was the very definition of judge shopping.
Yeah,
seriously.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, Glenn Beck with a little bit of fear-mongering for
the
you.
The left has been preparing and indoctrinating. Where are those children for the Republic? Where are those children for the Constitution and the Founders?
Is this a Hitler
you
Youth ad?
Must teach your children the truth of our country. Prepare your children so they can defend the Republic in thought and heart.
Ooh.
Sounds exactly like, yeah.
Sing, children, fatherland, father. Yeah. Oh, just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the children?
Die Fahne hoch, die Reihe fest geschlossen.
Is that what the kids stood up and sang in cabaret?
No, he said.
Oh, fatherland, fatherland, okay. Show us the way.
All right. Yes. They wrote that specifically, I think, for
cabaret.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Megan Kelly with a fox.
We got this shocking update from the Justice Department. It believes the health care law is constitutional.
What?
So there you go. The administration continues to believe that its law is constitutional, and they believe that they will ultimately prevail on this health care law.
Where did you get that crazy
Where?
Idea
That's
that
crazy.
It's constitutional?
Just because the first 15 judges said so, too? And you found one right-wing...
Yeah. I can't
whack.
Actually believe that they what? Still think it's constitutional.
Oh, my God.
There's a judge right there.
Somebody pinch me. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's all right. That's in every contract. That's what they call a sanity clause. You can't fool me. There ain't no sanity,
sanity clause.
Clause.
Upstairs, no downstairs. What's the matter, you?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Why duck? Why no chicken?
4 minutes after the hour. Huh? Hump Days with Hal sparks tomorrow, and not a moment too soon for Mama. All right. You know, a story caught our attention in Minneapolis. One of the fine business owners and supporters of our station there in Minneapolis, whom we love, is Jennifer Pritchard, who is the owner. Jen, this is for you. Mm-hmm. Owner of the Spittin' Kitten.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for coming on with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I will try to control Jim, if you know what I mean, if you've okay. listened to the show. Now, you have a great story because, you're a small business owner, but talk to us about how you came up with the idea for the Smitten Kitten.
Well, you know, the world needs more healthy sexuality.
Okay.
And Jim at hello.
Yeah, right. That's just sort of a given. And there was really nothing in the Midwest area where you could go in and have an education-based experience and shop for adult products, but in a nice, pretty boutique atmosphere, you know, no blinking triple X's, no blacked-out windows, you know, someplace where you would feel comfortable bringing your mother.
Well, not my mother. She's very Republican, right. But
hey,
presumably,
you know,
some mothers.
We have a lot of Republican clients, too.
Jen, I love this part. You have, it says it's referred to as an expertly curated selection of sex toys.
Yeah.
Might Jim apply to be the curator if an opening comes up?
You can. We're always taking resumes.
Now, I have to say too, there's a progressive angle to this because you well, first of all, you are a small business owner. A lot of talk about that with the tax deal, right? You're
yes.
a single mom.
Yep.
And with all your earnings, you support your family. By the way, it also includes a lot of pets, which made me love you even more.
Right. Yeah, I got a zoo at home.
You got what do you got?
I have a rescued Chihuahua and a Brussels Griffon and just, you know, a black cat.
Aw.
Yeah.
So you also offer good quality employment to 11 other people, some of whom have purchased their own homes working at the Smitten Kitten. All your staff paid above average rates. You offer full dental and health insurance benefits.
Yeah, that's so important to me. It's important to me. You know, I think, you know, small businesses are the engine of this economy. And I really, when I started, I not only wanted to make a good living for myself, I wanted to be economically viable, of course. But it's really important to provide jobs for other people. I mean, that's what I do. And so that's really vital to the mission of the Smitten Kitten.
Well, right. I mean, people are saying that, you know, you can create a successful model of ethical entrepreneurship, even in the adult industry, correct?
Totally. That's what we're doing. And we're sort of proving that you can do that. And then the adult industry, they're, you know, ahead of the times on a lot of things, but way, way in the dark ages on a lot of times. And ethics isn't what the adult industry is known for.
I love this. It caught my attention is that you are one of a few non-toxic progressive sex toy stores.
Yeah. I know.
What's that
Who
stuff
knew?
Made of?
Who knew? Well, that's the big question. That's the million-dollar question. You know, a lot of people will talk about the toxic chemicals in children's toys. You know, there's yes, exactly. And the problem is multiple times worse in the adult industry, and it's not regulated at all. And it's an industry where consumers aren't as likely to be good advocates for themselves because of, you know, whatever, they're embarrassed. You know, you're not likely to complain about it. And the,
right.
you know, people, it doesn't make the 10 o'clock news either. You know, people don't want to talk about sex toys in the media. So I'm so happy that you guys are willing to talk about it.
Don't buy sex toys from China.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And I see you say that, you know, one of your goals when you founded Smitten Kitten was to provide a supportive environment and the tools for folks of all sexual orientations to grow and feel more empowered. Here's the part Jim wants to talk to you about is
what?
You describe your personal sexual preference as fluid right now.
That's right.
Bisexual, not quite the right word?
That's not quite the right word. You know, there are lots of transgender folks in the world, and I find many of them sexy, as well as cisgendered people, which cisgendered just means, like, you know, male or female gendered, like averagely gendered people.
Right.
And so I feel like bisexual sort of, you know, relies on that binary gender system that I'm not sure I'm a fan of, and it doesn't fit for everybody. So.
Right. So, Jim is so willing to help. He seems so.
Yeah.
I've never seen him pay so much attention during an interview. Let me just tell you that right now.
Well, thanks, Jim.
How can folks listening find your store? Tell us.
We have locations in Denver, well, one location in Denver mm-hmm. and one location in Minneapolis, but most people throughout the country find us on our website, which is smittenkittenonline.com.
And we have a link to it up at stephaniemiller.com as well.
So cool.
If you have sex in Denver, you're part of the Mile High Club?
I think that, yeah.
That should be. Yeah. Automatically,
yeah.
Yes.
Yes, right.
Well, Jen, good luck to you. Just a great story, and happy holidays, and best of luck with the business. Thanks for supporting Progressive Radio.
Yes, thank you. Take care, guys.
All
have
right.
Holidays.
Thank you, Jen. Yay. There she goes. Yay! I don't think Jim has ever listened when I've had a senator on like that.
Don't buy sex toy from People's Republic of North Korea either.
No.
No way.
No. Buy them from the Smitten Kitten.
It might be radioactive. You never know.
Yeah, don't pick some up at the, tchotchke shop at the new the Chernobyl.
Not the Chernobyl tour.
Yeah, don't pick it up.
At the gift shop? Yeah.
Can I have a Chernobyl dildo, please?
It glows in dark. You don't need... White switch.
All right, let's finish up the right-wing world.
Who wants to go on heavy water slide?
Pat Gray, oh, that's the Beck Radio co-host.
Yeah, he's like the producer / co-host.
Must. Now, if you believe that...
People should not put producers on the air. Do you know what I'm saying, Jim? I mean, I think anybody can tell you that.
Hey, I told you that when we first started this show.
Well, if Jim would show up earlier, I wouldn't have to talk to you.
Oh, okay.
All right, here we go.
Now, if you believe that taking 35% of everything someone's earned in their lifetime
is a giveaway.
In a double taxation scheme is a giveaway.
Blah, blah, blah.
Doesn't that make you a communist?
You've already...
Does that not make you believe?
Yes.
Are you not someone who believes the government owns all wealth?
Yes.
Let's ask Reagan or, I don't know.
What?
Eisenhower or some other communists in our history.
Unbelievable.
Okay. I mean,
people have no concept of history or anything.
Okay. I
deserve to have all the money in the world and screw everyone else.
Steve Doocy with some stocking stuffer ideas for you.
Yeah, great.
If you are one of the millions of Tea Party supporters across the nation, then we've got the perfect stocking stuffer for you. It is called the Tea Party Patriots Coloring and Activity Book.
Oh,
and it is filled with all sorts of games and puzzles and songs to give a head start to the next generation of young Americans.
Right. Are there little Doocy's just out of curiosity?
Yes, remember he put his son on to report from some college?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there a section on Second Amendment solutions in the coloring book?
Can you just see them all scribbled away at their Tea Party coloring book on Christmas morning? That must be magic.
Our previous
injuring themselves eating
guest has some ideas
pudding.
For stocking stuffers and all that.
Okay, Stuart Varney on the Fox News.
If you read the tea leaves, retail sales, that kind of indicator, are beginning to pick up.
Oh.
Then you've got the results of November's election, which suggested a change in economic policy and a change in the politics of the country. Private enterprise likes that and may have more confidence restored.
Why.
And thirdly, you've got the tax deal, which is very likely to pass, meaning nobody's taxes go up on January the 1st. That's a plus for the economy.
Oh, I see. So the economy is getting better. Just the Republicans aren't even in yet, but just the unbelievable excitement that they're about to
be running things.
Has
nothing to do who's in the White House.
Yeah, right.
The Tea Party. Tea Party is far from running things. They only won 37% of the. Of the races they
and
ran
I say
in?
As an expert of all things American, that we as Americans should. Put down our crumpets and...
All right, Geico Lizard, whatever. By the way, did you see in the...
It's a pretty different accent, isn't it?
In the brief parts where the boner was not blubbering and shooting snot bubbles on Leslie Stahl, did you see this whole thing? I reject the word compromise. He said, we have to govern. That's what we're elected to do. Adding, it won't involve compromising, but instead finding common ground.
That's the same thing.
Yeah, that's what Stahl said. But governing means compromising, Boner. It means working together. It also means compromising. It means finding common ground. Okay, is that compromising, Boner? I made it clear I'm not going to compromise with any of my...
But that's...
I'm not going to use the word compromise. Frank once told me not to use... Oops. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that.
Yeah.
I blew it.
Stahl noted that Boner compromised his position on the Bush tax cuts to get a deal done with Obama last week, noting that he had wanted all the Bush-era tax cuts extended permanently and only got a two-year extension. Boner again said it wasn't a compromise.
It wasn't a compromise. It's a common ground. It's different.
She said, why won't you say you're afraid of the word, Stahl? I reject the word.
I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to hear it.
Snot bubble.
Oh, God, that look that she threw to his wife. Does he do this all the time?
Can you imagine being married to that?
What?
Wow.
Okay, can I find, where's my, that fashion song we use? He also, apparently, he's the Mr. Blackwell, Jim, of the 112th Congress.
What?
He loves to criticize the way others look, for some reason. This is a running thing with him.
Has he
dare not to brush your hair or thinking about making a bold fashion statement on the Hill? Watch out for John Boehner. For years, the Republican...
That means you can't come to work in sweatpants and Uggs.
Guess not. They're not sweatpants. They're Lululemon stretch pants that I wear to spinning.
I saw Mr. Blackwell at a restaurant once while he was still alive. Wow, that guy's telling other people how to dress?
Wow.
Really? Hello, checks and stripes? I think not.
The Republican leader, famous for his gray suits, bright ties, and perpetual tan, has been known for his criticisms of others' duds and tresses, not to mention footwear. Oh, dear. Is there going to be a bathroom incident in his future?
That sounds really Larry Craig-ish.
Yeah, it does.
The shoes are horrible. Boehner once teased Utah Representative Rob Bishop for sporting a three-piece suit. He said, I told Mr. Bishop on the way in, just because he inherited this suit from his grandfather doesn't mean he has to wear it. His hair looks good, though.
He kind of sounds like a dick.
Fox News' Chad Pergram's black-on-black ensemble he once deemed too metrosexual. Yeah, because he's a madman. He doesn't go for them. Unless there's a bathroom incident coming up. Just saying.
All right, boy.
In 2008, he pointed to a reporter's scuffed shoes and simply said, polish. Last year, he suggested to a reporter, you really need to do something with that hair of yours. Get a brush, would you? Boehner referred to another reporter as the bald guy, then asked a female reporter whose hair was pulled back in a ponytail, what's wadded up in the back of your head? Seems a little...
I rest my case.
He's just one big hissy fit.
He said, it looks so nice hanging down. It looks like you got up a little late and decided that, I just wadded up the back. Wow.
Okay.
All right, Mr.
Interesting
Black.
Choice of words.
What's that wadded up in your hair? Okay.
Yep. Probably a snot bubble if he was around.
What is this? Is there something about Mary? What's going on?
I'm the Speaker of the House. What do you think of that?
But he still hasn't produced any jobs.
Where
are the jobs?
46 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the tax deal as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't know what that means, but I like the sound of it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I recognize that folks on both sides of the political spectrum are unhappy with certain parts of the package, and I understand those concerns. I share some of them, but that's the nature of compromise, sacrificing something that each of us cares about to move forward on what matters to all of us.
He can use that word. I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to say compromise. You can't make me.
Steph? The people in the chat room want to know what music you were hearing.
Oh, because I was dancing?
Because you were chair dancing.
Because I'm Elaine in Seinfeld.
Sorry.
Hey, screw off, chat room. Okay.
She was hearing the Starland vocal band
while
we were listening to the Ramones.
I'm on Guess the Quote overload. I don't care. Who said, I have great hopes for this president and for the future of this country. I am grateful to Bill Clinton, a man I've had my issues with, for stepping up and having Obama's back this week. It is something we're all going to need to do if we want progressive values to prevail in the end. We need to surrender this idea that political purity is the highest value. Good governance should be the goal. Who said that?
Kim Jong-il.
No, bad guesses this morning. Beth Broderick on the Huffington Post this morning.
Ah.
Obama and the Age of Unreason, which I just thought was fabulous since I've read it almost in its entirety. And that might be a kind of a heavy hint as to what this next quote is from. Oh, who said, the problem with political purity is it leads to purging on both sides of the equation. Can we really survive wave election after wave election without achieving the tiniest ripple of consensus? The notion that we lost in 2010 because the White House didn't tack far enough to the left is simply unfounded. A struggling economy was not helpful, but every election is ours to lose, and we lost because we did not support our team. Turnout among Democrats was terrible, especially by the young and newly registered, the very folks whose future depends on the success of this president. Who said that?
Mao Zedong.
No. Beth Broderick in the Obama and the Age of Unreason Huffington Post this morning. Check it out. Who said, finally, if we turn into the latte version of the Tea Party, threatening censure of all but the most purely progressive, this country will continue to be torn apart. Let's leave the whining and the rancor to the Republicans. We are not a party known for its unity, but we are united in our desire to work for the common good and to bend the will of history toward justice. President Obama is not perfect, nor is he a purist, but he is on our side. I, for one, intend to stand by his efforts on this mission, near impossible. It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it, and so I pray, may God bless him. Really, God, please bless him, because God knows he's going to need it, and he's going to need us. Who said that?
Zhang Baiyi.
Who?
Who's that?
Some Chinese politician.
We don't know. Okay, Beth Broderick, Obama and the Age of Unreason on the Huffington Post this morning. Read it, learn it.
Limit.
I have a book report on my desk by the end of the show. Kevin in D.C. Hi, Kev.
Wow, all these years later, and that voice still gets to me. It's like a, it's like the perfect mix of a melodic hum, a warm giggle, and a sexy purr.
Thank you.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, but you know, I'm so glad you read that, although she took out most of what I've been thinking. So I just want to ask this question to those who think that if Obama had, in quotes, fought more, you know, the Republicans would have came around. Now, in what universe...
Yeah.
You know, our sociopaths who are so ideological and selfish that they filibuster a bill that provided assistance to 9/11 responders, and Obama doesn't even have all the people in his cabinet, and they did all that as a minority. So magically, when they get more of them in the Senate, in the House, they're going to act better? Really?
Yeah, really? To paraphrase Saturday Night Live, really? Really? All right, the president again.
This proves that both parties can, in fact, work together.
By the by, so Max Baucus, who we have to thank to some degree for the watering down of the health care bill. You were saying that, I lay a lot of this at the conservatives' feet, but doesn't this sound like a Republican talking point?
Plain and simple. This bipartisan compromise is about creating jobs. Huh. Extending middle-class tax cuts will help create jobs. Mm. Not extending them would cost jobs.
I don't get the jobs thing with tax cuts. I think tax cuts is about putting more money in the middle class's pocket to try and stimulate the economy. This is this whole, isn't that the right wing? Oh, yeah, you can't tax the top 2% because they won't hire.
Oh, they're the job creators.
Yeah,
in China.
Yeah,
right.
Thank you. Chris Van Hollen of the House, Representative Chris Van Hollen.
The Democrats in the House aren't going to bury a tax bill in a desk and prevent anything from coming to the floor of the House.
Obviously, the test vote went passed overwhelmingly yesterday in the Senate, so it's on its way.
Surprisingly overwhelmingly, actually.
Yeah. Steny Hoyer in the House.
I think we're going to have a vote on the Senate bill and with possible changes.
Who did we talk to this morning? Representative Yarmuth. It was not hopeful, I don't think, on the estate tax, but boy.
I think we will pass a bill as opposed to simply not passing anything.
Yeah, I wish they could do something about the estate tax for sure. Yeah. Mitch McNaliplis.
This is an important shift, and the White House should be applauded.
Yes, an important shift. And I believe it's someone else's shift to feed me the lettuce. Just throw me a bone here.
Yeah, whose shift is it to change the stuff in his terrarium?
No one has,
thrown any lettuce change in the water. Terrarium for a long time.
Doesn't he just, I don't know if it's the glasses, he just looks surprised to be anywhere, doesn't he? All right, Representative Jeb Hensarling, Republican of Texas.
I don't know what House Democrats will attempt to do at the 11th hour, and certainly it could jeopardize things.
Oh, boy. Representative Paul Ryan, Republican of Wisconsin. Representative Paul Ryan of Wisconsin.
It's coming.
Okay. And here it is.
Dan said, no, we're not interested in changing this deal. We're interested in passing this through.
Yeah, of course. Of course. You'd have to hate to have the states actually, you know, paying anything. Okay. The top five quotes of 2010. I don't know who declares these things, but I am not a witch at number one. I am not a witch, Christine O'Donnell. Oh, number two. Oh, it's tied with I'd Like My Life Back by BP CEO.
Oh. Tony Hayward.
Yes. Number three, if you touch my junk, I'm going to have you arrested. That's a good one. We all like that one. Yeah. Don't retreat, instead reload, Sarah Palin. Oh, and number nine, Christine O'Donnell made it again. You're telling me the separation of church and state is found in the First Amendment?
What?
It's not there. I read it and didn't say it.
What?
By the way, the way, she's formed a PAC, and guess who else has? Sharon Engel has launched a PAC. It's the I'm a Loser PAC.
All right.
Loser PAC.
Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
Maybe they can get the Wolf candidate. Maybe they can get Joe Miller to form a PAC, too. Former Nevada Republican Senate candidate Sharon Engel angling to lead the Tea Party movement heading into 2012 because she was so spectacularly successful. She unveiled Patriot Caucus, a PAC she says has the support of the Tea Party in 15 states.
And the NRA, no doubt.
I'm just guessing. 58 minutes after the hour, that's it for us. Hump Days with Hal Sparks tomorrow. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and Miranda Moreno. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.